Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the last day of November. We're going to do our open line, which, to tell you the truth, we forgot about. We didn't forget about it. We just never got to it. And it's happening because Matt Taibbi is unfortunately sick today and can't do the show, which should give you enough time to read some of his book or excerpts thereof. Griftopia, Bubble Machines, Vampire Squids, and the Long Con That Is Breaking America. He is a contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine, and he knew very little about why the financial system collapsed. But he delved into it and not only has human stories that fill you with outrage after you've read them, but he also writes about how Republicans and Democrats are really at the are tied pretty closely to what's going on Wall Street. And he says in his book, just to give you, because I really wanted to do the interview today, as you could tell, I read a lot of the book yesterday, but it'll give us we're going to reschedule with him. So if you can, read the book, which is very, very well written, and it gives you a clear sense of the mortgage bubble and what it was all about and how big banks like Goldman Sachs were taking bundles of subprime mortgages that were lent out to largely to low-income, high-risk borrowers, and then they applied what he calls this kind of magic pixie dust math to these bundles of securities, slapped AAA ratings on them, and turned around and placed massive bets against the mortgage market, knowing that it was going to collapse. And they took AIG and placed massive bets that this stuff was going to fail. AIG and others stupidly took the bet, and that's what ended up blowing them up. Goldman Sachs, he said, had an extraordinary amount of political influence that was over and above other banks. No other bank has the same record in terms of taking former executives and placing them in high-ranking positions in the government. So that's a bit about what the book's about. We'll have him on, don't worry, and it'll be a great interview because he is a great writer and it's important stuff. So instead, we're doing an open line, and that's okay because we'll squeeze one in November. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is our number, and our lines are filled right now, but just keep the number in your head. Chrissy Pease is answering phone calls. She'll answer your call, and we'll get you on the air soon. And we listen to you. We listen to you, and we follow through on many of your suggestions. Frank from Madison, hi.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
A program on the dangers of unreformed finance is a really, really good idea. but I didn't call to talk about that. There's a coincident with the Cancun conference on the response to climate change, where very little will be done by intent. The Royal Society of Britain, you know, the original nullus in verba, don't believe anything you're told, people, have a complete issue, the Philosophical Transactions A, on what the world might look like not if we go 2 centigrade degrees higher, which was the goal of the Kyoto and Copenhagen conferences, but 4 degrees higher in average temperature. And this is a very sobering set of papers. By the way, it's free. You can download the whole thing today.
Oh, great.
So it's a picture of what the world might look like mid-century. It's extremely sobering and worrying. And these are not the alarmists. These are the skeptics, the people who've done the work and very carefully are considering the consequences of continuing to put CO2 in the atmosphere. So could I suggest, first, it's a good source of potential guests.
Yes.
And that you do a program on what the world might look like mid-20th century.
Okay.
Now, stay away from the controversy and the people who tell you it isn't happening or that nothing can be done or that it's too expensive. But look at what sober people suggest we might be dealing with. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks very much. And we have talked about doing a show on the Cancun conference, so we will be on that. We're on the case. Thank you, Frank. Anne in Madison is next. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Well, I suggested this reporter before. I don't know whether she's easy to get or not, but her name is Leslie Cohen. She's a BBC business reporter, and she's on BBC just before BBC becomes Wisconsin Public Radio in the morning.
Okay.
She's absolutely brilliant. She's not from the Chicago School of Economics. She thinks for herself, and she talks in very easy-to-understand language, and she interviews some of the world's, biggest and most corrupt, like hedge fund dealers and stuff. She really is a great interviewer. I know you'd like her, and she has a very, she has a beautiful voice. She's very easy to communicate with. I just know you'd really, find her interesting if she's willing to be on. And somebody else I've also mentioned before is Georgie Ann Geyer.
Oh, where is she now? I used to interview her all the time.
Well, I don't know whether she's still working, but after the Chicago Daily News, she worked for the Universal Press Syndicate.
Right.
But I don't see her on television anymore. And she, she kind of turned conservative in her dotage, but her book Buying the Night Flight, the autobiography of a woman foreign correspondent, is so interesting.
Yes, it was. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. There's a name from the past for me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I would really like to, and just to hear what reporting is like from a woman's point of view.
Mm-hmm. And Leslie sounds good. We'll be on that story because, of course, we'd like to know what's going on in Ireland. And
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Anne.
Let's go to Brad next from Whiting. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Kathleen. I love Matt Taibbi. I read his articles in Rolling Stone every month.
He's a heck of a writer, isn't he? He's really good.
One issue I have with him, though, is he characterizes Medicare as being a single-payer type of insurance. And it's not really. Most people don't know that Medicare only pays 80% of your medical bills. You're stuck with the other 20%, which is a lot if you go in the hospital. And to alleviate that, in about half the states, northern states, the so-called blue states, you can buy a Medigap plan, which is a private insurance plan. But the problem with these Medigaps is they still will deny you enrollment due to pre-existing condition or disability, and they charge the disabled twice as much as a 65-year-old on Medicare. And I'd just like you to do a show on Medigaps and why we need to reform them by either making them not be able to discriminate due to pre-existing condition and to charge everybody the same premium, or just do away with them altogether and have Medicare pay 100% of your doctor bill and make it a truly single-payer plan.
All right, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you for the suggestion. We go to Victor in Milwaukee next. Hi, Victor.
Good morning.
Hi.
My suggestion for a topic is recycling program. From its inception until now, I'd just like a guest to come on and discuss, give a measuring stick on how well we're doing and has it really impacted the environment.
Okay.
So I just like to, I participate in myself too at every given opportunity, recycle glass, plastic, metal, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you see it at universities and even some corporations and even the military is participating in it. But I'd like to see how far we've gone and if there's room for improvement.
Well, that's a good idea for a show. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye, Victor.
Bye.
Emily in La Crosse. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
I had two things that I was thinking of when you guys did this open line. I was doing some research. I'm actually a college student, and I was doing some research last night about the Southern Poverty Law Center's research regarding anti-gay groups and homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just pretty recently out, so I thought that would be an interesting thing to do a show on because there's a lot of information on there, and there's some controversy surrounding them coming out with this information.
Okay.
And then I was also interested in, excuse me,
certainly.
I was also interested in the government's recent takeover of a lot of the different internet search engines for things like music, like BitTorrent and LimeWire, those kinds of online search engines to download torrent files for media.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of curious to hear more about that. There's not a whole lot of great research online that I was able to find, but I figured that there would probably be somebody who would be informed enough that you guys would be able to get a hold of.
Okay.
You seem to have a pulse on all of the good information for me.
All right, Emily. Thank you. Good luck in school. Finals are coming up, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sarah from Zion, Illinois. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Sarah.
You know, I've been meaning to send you an email because I got that day you had a show about global warming and then Barack Obama's like secret personality. I just that day was so fascinating. And in general, I just am so amazed by the breadth of your shows. You have these fun shows and these historical shows and then these really hardcore political shows. And I just think you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you. It's not just me. I have a great staff here, Chrissy and Rhonda. We all want to know what's going on, you know? So
okay.
it's a good team, as they say. But thank you. Thanks for the compliment.
Thank you. Well, my suggestion is, and I said this when I was listening to, I think, a Ben Maron Thanksgiving show about Thanksgiving, of course. And I would love to see if you could find a historian to talk about the French and Indian War.
Okay. All right.
I remember, you know, what I hear about it is so interesting, and then I just don't know the details, like, you know, how the Indians just fought for one side or the other side, and then how people double-dealt them and what it was all about. I don't know. It interests me. Anyway.
Okay, right, yeah. Well, you know, we haven't formally incorporated this, but we do look for a history topic at least once a month, if not more than that, because I think it's good. You know, it's our going to school, let's learn something. And I'm with you on that. That'd be great. Usually we do it in reference to a book that has been out fairly recently, but we don't necessarily have to do that. So we can look around. I'd like to know about that, too.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Paul from, hey, we got some lines open here, 800-486-8655 is our number. It's an open line. Matt Taibbi got the flu today, so he can't do the show. But rest assured, he will reschedule because it is well worth talking about. His new book. Paul in Duluth. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm just standing in awe of the last hour. It was terrific.
Oh, thank you.
I've got something on the kind of lighter side, a couple of things, actually. I heard, and I'm not sure where I heard this, but it's the book is, there are two books, Stuff White People Like, and Whiter Shade of Pale by Christian Lander. And I just laughed myself silly when I heard this guy. And quite frankly, it probably would be kind of a send-up on a lot of your listeners, including me, which is what made me laugh about it. And he just talks about things like farmers markets and hemp advocates and you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Anyway, just for a lighter interview, I think he would be great. And the other light thing, you've been doing this every year, maybe because I keep reminding you. It's the Lake Superior College list of words that need to be retired.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you or Joy do it, but those guys are worth checking out every year towards the end of the year.
Right.
But then on a serious note, I have a very old dog, and for the last few years, I've been running into really kind of roadblocks when it deals with her end-of-life issues.
Mm.
And I would love to have somebody on that can talk about veterinary laws. You know, we've had this whole discussion about health care for humans, but I don't know. I would ask questions like, you know, why is it that veterinary drugs never go off patent so that they can be bought at a, you know, a local pharmacy? You always have to get them from your pharmacist, from your veterinarian.
Yeah.
And things along that line. And I tried calling into Larry Mueller's show once when he had Sandy Sawchuk on, which I love that show. But they wouldn't take the call because it was they didn't think I was quite on topic.
Oh.
And I don't know who you could get, but somebody to talk about, you know, where are the rules concerning veterinary law are based, and when was the last time they were updated, you know,
okay.
That kind of thing.
Well, how old is your dog?
She's 17.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. 17?
It's no joke. Poor dear is, she's got some arthritis, and she's incontinent, and maybe a little dementia coming in there. I still love her to death, and I know that, you know, her time is almost up.
Yeah.
And what I'm just, I don't know, I don't want to go into it.
I know.
I think it would be a show that a lot of people might relate to.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay.
And her name is Cassie, and she's an adorable cow, and...
Aww.
I'm going to miss her when she's gone.
No, believe me, I'm with you on the dogs. I know. You're going to make me cry now.
Oh, I didn't want to do that.
No, it's all right. I was thinking about the great dogs I've lost. I didn't think we would go in that direction. All right. I don't want to cry. At any rate.
I would keep it. I would consider it. I think it would be a good topic.
I think you're right. All right, Paul. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, bye. Let's go to Arlene in New Berlin. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning.
Hi.
Kathleen, I'm glad I could catch you on this show because there's a couple of things I'd like you to find out for me.
All right.
One of them is I'd like you to get somebody from the radio community to tell me why they took soft jazz off the radio. You know, they have three Christian channels. They've got three country Western channels, and they have all others, but they took soft jazz off. In order for me to listen to that kind of music, other than having my CDs, I have to turn on the television set to the music stations in like 9:35 and listen to that all day, and I don't want my TV on all day. The other question is, I would like you to find out or have somebody from either one of each person from the Republican and Democratic part of the government tell me in the Constitution where it says that they have to have career politicians. I think it's actually sad because these guys sit around, do nothing, collect a hefty paycheck, and while everybody else is suffering in this country, and I don't believe that when they put up the Constitution, it said that they had to have career politicians, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, Arlene. We don't really have any answers. I don't know what happened to soft jazz. I really don't, but I just think it's best to listen to talk all day so that you become informed and just listen to Wisconsin Public Radio all day. That's what you need to do. Or you can do our classical network, too. So you can listen to classical music. But I'm not sure. We could talk. You know, it's not a bad idea to have somebody here to talk about what's happening with radio. You know, what people are listening to and what sells and how many services. You just buy a service and it plays the same kind of music and it's all over the country. That might be an interesting show, do you think? Chrissy thinks so, but we're in radio. I don't know if it's too, you know, inside a show. I don't think so. People listen to radio a lot. In terms of career politicians, you know, people have used that during campaigns. They're career politicians. I don't know if we can do a whole show on career politicians, but some people who are politicians who have made careers of their work have been extraordinary human beings, too. So... thank you, Arlene, very much for the call. But you're on to something with this radio thing. Maybe we'll do a show on that. That would be kind of interesting now that I think of it. How radio used to be, why it's different. All right. Let's go to Jeff in Winneconne. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Smooth Jazz. That's 91.1.
Yeah.
The Avenue in Neenah.
The Avenue in Neenah.
Right. It's great stuff. And what I'd like to have you do a show on is the FSC that they're putting in cigarettes right now.
The what?
FSC. It's Fire Safety Control.
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to be two different speed bumps along the paper that puts the cigarette out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I took all the tobacco out of a cigarette, and I lit the paper, and the paper torched like you wouldn't believe. I took the tobacco and put it in a coffee filter, rolled it up, tried to light it, and the tobacco does not light. It keeps going out. It's a hazard. What is this drug or whatever they're putting in cigarettes right now? It really has a lot of concern with me. And, you know, I'm a smoker, you know, obviously, so.
Well, it's time to quit.
No, I don't want to.
Why?
I'm allowed to smoke. I paid my dues. I like smoking, especially after sex.
We're getting mighty personal on this open line. What's with everybody today? All right. Well, you went to a lot of trouble to find out about this. But, you know, cigarettes have a lot of chemicals in it. So I don't know what to say. I have a hard time, you know, really getting into your cause here. But maybe there's something that we can talk about cigarettes and how many people have quit smoking and this issue. And, you know, there might be something there.
Okay.
But I do think you ought to quit. I know. Who am I to tell you that? But
I know.
You know. All right.
It's a lot of fun.
All right, Jeff. Until you okay. die early. But no. All right. Goodbye. Let's go to Charles from Mount Zion, Wisconsin. Hi. Oh, the warning label. That's what we were going to talk about. Thank you, Chrissy. Right. Those really dramatic warning labels. We thought there might be a show on that. There still might be a show on that. Yeah, if we expand it a little bit. I'm sorry, Charles. Go ahead.
Okay, I have three suggestions. One is David C. Korten, K-O-R-T-E-N. He's the publisher of Yes Magazine, and he's written a book which is probably not new, but it is An Agenda for a New Economy. My second suggestion is John Eichard. He has written a book titled Small Farms Are Real Farms. And my third suggestion is Kathleen Dean Moore, M-O-O-R-E. You and she should get along well.
Yeah.
Her book is, she's the editor of a new book titled Moral Ground, Ethical Action for a Planet in Peril.
Well, that sounds interesting. And tell me more about Yes Magazine. I'm not familiar with it.
It's published bi-monthly. It has writers like Bill McKibben, et cetera, et cetera. It's primarily ecological and economics, as if they were not the same thing.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
Well, I find it very interesting. Of course, it's all people I agree with, so they're always more interesting.
All right, Charles.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Did anybody see, I can't remember the name of the town right now because I didn't expect the open line, the CBS show last night? We got to send people to this guy's planetarium. We're going to do a little program with him. He works in a paper mill in Wausau, but his dream has been to do this planetarium. And CBS did this wonderful feature on him last night. He spent 15 years putting this together in his backyard. And it looks beautiful, and everybody thinks he's just the most wonderful person in the community. It's a very small town, but so the reporter was the only person in the audience because people haven't come to visit him. And he spent, as you can imagine, there are stars. He painted all the stars, and he created this planetarium because it's what he loves, and so people need to go and see it, I think. And we're in Wisconsin. I thought, well, somebody will go now because it was on CBS News. But what's the name of the town? Chrissy, can you find out for me? It's CBS Evening News last night, 5:30. And we should do an interview with him. It was At any rate, if you're in that area, and I'll get the name of the town in a minute, go see his planetarium. I wanted to give him some business because he's worth it. Let's go to Tom from Kenosha. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I would like to hear a show about lobbyists, who they are, who they work for, and what they're actually paying all our honest politicians.
Okay.
Yeah, you almost wonder if they just took a 50% tax on all the money our politicians were getting from this lobbyist, I think our national debt would be taken care of in a few years.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Monaco, Wisconsin. The guy's planetarium. And we'll have him on as a guest. So if you're near Monaco or if you want to make a trip, go to his planetarium. I guess I'm a little derelict in not doing my pause, so I will do that right now. We're doing an open line this hour. It's the last day of November, so it's appropriate that we do this. But we also got word early today that Matt Taibbi has the flu, so we couldn't talk about Griftopia, bubble machines, vampire squids, and the long con that is breaking America. The book not only looks at the financial meltdown, he spends quite a bit of time going to Tea Party meetings. So he looks at that, and he looks at healthcare reform and how the healthcare industry got pretty much everything that they wanted, and looks at, well, he has really horrendous things to say about Goldman Sachs, who, in collusion with the the whole thing is about subprime mortgages lent out to largely low-income, highly risky borrowers, and he has some really tragic stories about these borrowers in the book. And then, you know, placing bets against the mortgage market, knowing that it's going to collapse. Really, it seems to me to be unethical behavior that we asked this years ago, why people weren't marching in the streets about what was going on. It's because it's complicated. So he has put it all in the book with the probably proper amount of outrage about all of this. And, well, I say all of this because I want you to know that we will reschedule with him. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Open line, 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. Greg is next on the road. Hi, Greg.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I got a suggestion about how the rules and regulations are supposed to be changing on the trucking industry, on the drivers, how they're trying to make it so all the drivers are supposed to be perfectly healthy while they're driving down the road. And it's like, well, if that's the case, they're going to do that, then they should be pushing this on other people that drive, too. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair on some of the other things that they're doing, too, that they target trucks more than they do cars for speeding and other different illegal things that they're doing. It'd be nice to see if you could get a guest on there to talk about the regulations and the rules and how they're trying to push it on the trucking industry or the trucking companies.
What do you mean? What do you mean they have to be perfectly healthy?
Well, they're saying if you've had diabetes, they're going to pull your license.
Oh.
And if you've had other health problems like a heart attack or other minor problems, they're just going to wind up pulling your medical card, so you can't drive. Basically, you can't drive a commercial truck down the road.
Really?
And I think it's extremely unfair.
I didn't know about this. Can you send us some information about it, Greg?
No, I can't. I guess I got my information from the company that I work for. I guess it's they got it from the federal DOT's website, I guess.
All right, the Federal Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's starting to be so unfair, and this country relies on the trucking industry, and if they start doing stuff like that, there's going to be a lot less truck drivers, which means there's going to be a lot less things people will receive and get
right
that they need throughout the United States.
Yeah. All right. We'll look into it, sir. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Tom in South Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Tom.
I would love to see you get Mr. Michael Chertoff as a guest on your show one of these days. With all of the talk about the whole body scanners at airports, I heard a report, and I don't know if anybody has really verified this or not, but I heard a report that he owns stock in one or two or at least one of these companies that makes these whole body scanners. And as a former deputy or director, I should say, of Homeland Security, if this is true, I think this is a conflict of interest.
I have no idea if it's true.
I'd love to see him answer that question.
Okay, Tom. Thank you. I don't know. I hadn't heard that. I don't know if it's true. Let's go to Alex in Marshfield. Hello.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Well, I'm well.
Good.
I wish I could hear your guest, the author of the book. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, you will.
I try to reference people to Michael Moore's Capitalism. I think he kind of came out early on this and sort of did sort of point as to the impact that Goldman Sachs did have on the financial markets, and also the fact it's no secret that they're, when everything collapsed, they're the last one standing, which creates a lot of problems for the rest of us average Americans. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I digress. The topic I would like to hear is creation of small businesses, advice, suggestions as to how to go about doing them, looking for funding, and other sources of information regarding that.
What you got? What do you have in mind, Alex? What are you starting?
Well, I'm a skier. I'm a ski guide up in Alaska, and I'm looking to do, even though I'm in Wisconsin now, I'm looking to possibly do a boutique ski construction. It's basically manufacture skis, but I want to do it on a sustainable, environmental way, and looking to possibly try to do it with alternative energy power. And I'd love to be pointed in a few right directions and figure out ways to take advantage of any possible grants or anything that the federal government would be willing to help in this creation of this business. So
okay.
I don't know if anyone's out there, but I'd surely like to listen or would be open to some advice.
Okay. Actually, that's probably a good idea for us to do, as we're talking about trying to find jobs for people and putting them back to work. Is that the way to go? And what do you need to do it? It's good. Well, good luck to you. That's ambitious and creative.
Well, passion and occupation all in one.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, it's the way it's got to be.
For me.
You don't want to be bored in your life. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much. Greg from Sturgeon Bay, hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was listening to your cigarette smoker earlier, and it reminded me of my own little samplings of cigars and so forth, and it kind of brought up a broader issue. What makes food gourmet food? I like single malt scotches. Taste terrible, but for some reason I enjoy sampling them. Same with cigars. You know, you've got gourmet coffee versus non-gourmet coffee. So what is it about the taste buds or about how we enjoy food that makes one food gourmet versus another? Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Larry in Madison. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. My first suggestion is Sarah Ludwig. She is a founder and executive director of Neighborhood Economic Development Advocacy Project. She is very informative on the current home mortgage and foreclosure crisis, explaining how we got there and what the problems are today, including some of the fraudulent practices that have set up the situation. My second suggestion is Derek Liebart. He is a former member of the Council on Foreign Relations and teaches foreign policy at Georgetown in Washington, D.C. He talks about erroneous foreign policy assumptions that the United States has made over the years and that has gotten us into a number of military conflicts which, with a more enlightened foreign policy, could have been avoided. So those are my two suggestions.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Eugene and Viola, hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. There's a talk show host at a small radio station, Hall FM station in Rhinelander. He is 93 years old.
Wow.
And he's broad. I don't know whether he's a talk show host or a disc jockey, but somebody of that age, if he's been around radio for a number of years, he would just be interesting to talk to.
Right. What is he? You don't know what he plays or anything.
I don't know. It's a small station there at Rhinelander, and they started on a shoestring, and now they're evidently they're doing all right.
Hmm. All right, Eugene.
We'll
track him down. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Judy in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I have two thoughts. First of all, is the transition initiative. Am I on okay?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, because I'm on my cell phone in a basement, sorry. Transition initiatives are about visioning a world where there's limited resources, peak oil, climate change, and economic instability. And there are lots of transition initiatives here in the U.S. There's one in Milwaukee. I'm with the one in Madison. A good contact would either be Transition Wisconsin or Transition U.S. to get potential speakers. And the other thought that I had was the economics of growth, given the fact that we have limited resources, and how that will change, how the economics will change.
Okay. Yeah, we struggle with that issue when we're talking about a lot of other issues. It's always there. It's kind of omnipresent. So, all right, Judy, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. By Joe from Lac de Flambeau. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Kathleen. I don't know, maybe this is a little bit lighter fare, but I think that, and I don't know if anybody else does this currently on Wisconsin Public Radio, but I think you should do a spring and a fall fashion show. You know, get somebody on there and talk about, latest in men's and women's fashions, personal style, different age groups, you know, what's good for them, how to look good, and especially in these times, where to buy things, where you can look good and not spend a lot of money. I don't think people have to really go after the big-name designers, but I think people could use all kinds of ideas along those lines.
Okay. Are you trying to look better, Joe? Or you
No, I
you
look
good
fine,
already?
I think. I'm just, it's always good to hear new information, Keep current. And we all know you're a closet fashionista.
Yeah, right. So. You should see me now. Well, I got my tennies on, but I do have a nice white shirt on and, you know, a decent pair of pants. But it is true. I just don't know how to be fashionable. I don't know how to do it. I really don't.
Get somebody on and talk about it.
But why would I want to be? Why would
twice I? Once a year. Once in the fall, once in the spring.
Yeah, I can see some interest in this, but why would we want to be fashionable, Joe?
Well, not necessarily fashionable. I don't think fashionable is the issue. I think just stylish. Create your own style. Personal style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have one? Do you have a style?
Yeah, I think so.
What is it?
Oh, I don't know. Kind of backwoodsy, casual, plaids and jeans and corduroys, that kind of stuff.
Comfy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Thank you, Joe.
It would be
something very different for us to do, no doubt about that. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Roger in Waukesha. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Roger.
I have a suggestion for a program on lifestyle medicine. There's a man named Dr. Hans Diehl, who is an epidemiologist and teaches at Loma Linda University and at the University of Illinois, who has established a program known as CHIP. CHIP is an acronym for Coronary Health Improvement Project, and it's a community-based wellness program that is being offered in February here in Waukesha. And to tout some of the benefits of the program, there is a benefit of weight loss, lowered blood pressure, lowered cholesterol, and lowered dependence on type 2 diabetics and their dependence on insulin, and as well as other medicines that people may be dependent upon. And just to drop a few names, right now he's on tour in Australia and New Zealand with a doctor named Caldwell Esselstein, who has written a book on reversing atherosclerosis. And he's also good friends with another doctor named Dr. Neil Barnhart, who is the president of the Physicians Committee on Responsible Medicine in Washington. And he's written a book on reversing diabetes. Well, he presents a very dynamic program that is going to be offered here in Waukesha next February, as I mentioned. But as well as dropping another name, let me mention the Blue Zone that Dan Buettner is popular for, and How to Live Be 100+. So he comes from that zone in California, and again, he's an epidemiologist.
Okay.
And so Dr. Hans Diehl would be just a wonderful program, and if you can catch him with some of his friends, it would be a great program.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Roger.
Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Sue in Elgin, Illinois. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to hear a program dealing with the way the political changes in our country are changing the way we serve the disadvantaged and underprivileged, and whether this is destroying the moral values America is supposedly built on. Is it just destroying America and the way we and the world feel about it?
What changes are you talking about? What are you referencing, Sue?
Well, the change in political power to the Republicans, they seem to look at the country from a different viewpoint. And it seems I'm 71 and was raised to believe that we had moral values in this country, and that we, my values are, although I'm agnostic, the things I think are guide my moral values are the Sermon on the Mount, the Golden Rule, and the principle to live and let live. And it just seems to me that the change in political parties in the legislative branch is going to affect that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call, Sue. I think we probably have to wait and see if there are certain programs that people feel that there's a lot of debate about the continuation of certain kinds of programs. We'll certainly get into many more discussions about tax cuts, because those will be happening fairly soon, I would think. And it just shows about political philosophy, too. Thank you, Sue, very much for the call. Jane in Manitowoc. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Terrific. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a county veteran service officer in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And in the last 3 years since I've been hired, I've made vast improvements in the federal dollars coming into my county as far as veterans benefits. We live in a rural part of the United States, and a lot of our veterans and their surviving spouses simply don't know what's out there as far as health care, low-cost pharmacy, education, pensions for the wartime veteran who's living below the poverty level, the compensation for injuries, the 27 different illnesses caused by Agent Orange, and things like that nature. And if I can make a $10 million difference in my county in 3 months or 3 years, I think veterans benefits would be an exceptionally good program.
Mm-hmm.
We also are lucky here in our state. Jim Young is one of our county veteran service officers, and he's actually now president of the National County Veteran Service Officers Association.
Oh, great.
So he's out there in Washington making changes for us all the time.
All right. And where is he? Jim is at the...
He's the county veteran service officer, and I can't... It slipped my mind as to which county he's with. There's 72 counties here.
But he's with the Veterans Affairs Office in Washington?
No, he works for the county.
Oh, he works for the county.
Each county has their own veteran service office, and that's... It allows us the right to argue with the federal VA every time we think they're wrong.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. If you want to send us more information about what you're up to, we do veteran shows periodically. So
wonderful.
It's good to know. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Let's go next to Dan in West Bend. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Good morning. You guys are great.
Thanks. I love your station.
Great, thanks.
I have a comment and a thing that affects a lot of people is smoking cigarettes. And I was turned on to a book. It's called The Easy Way to Stop Smoking. It's written by Alan Carr. I've quit. Well, I'm on the third time now, and it's felt great every time. But Alan Carr also has clinics around, possibly Chicago. I believe he's deceased now. But it's an excellent book. He also has CDs of the book and other things available. But it seemed like a lot of people had interest and affects a lot of people if they want to quit smoking. I think this is a great way to go about it.
All right, Dan. Thank you. Thanks for the call. We have an open line. Matt Taibbi got the flu today, so he couldn't join us. But we are going to reschedule the interview because it's most worthwhile. His latest book is Griftopia, Bubble Machines, Vampire Squids, and the Long Con That Is Breaking America. The book looks at the financial meltdown, who's to blame, the cozy relationship between Wall Street and the government, Wall Street and Democrats and Republicans. It looks at the Tea Party, and he suggests that their anger is misguided, that people need to be angry about how Wall Street is running the show and making huge amounts of money. He looks at the healthcare industry as well and asks why is it that they got pretty much what they wanted with healthcare reform. So it's a good book, and we'll let you know when it is rescheduled. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Open line for November, Naomi from Dubuque. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was just calling to suggest I thought it would be interesting to have on maybe some experts like historians or professors to talk about, to kind of go with what the woman earlier said about the founding of our nation, and to talk about the fact that our nation wasn't founded on Christian values, and that several of our founding fathers were not Christian, were agnostic at the very least, if not atheist, and how that's all gotten sort of wrapped into our politics these days, and it's regardless of what you believe and don't believe, it's just not accurate.
Okay. Religious beliefs of the founding fathers. Good. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Jane is next from Brookfield. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I would like you to ask Congressman Sensenbrenner on your show. I have called his office several times, and they have always implied that he has not been asked. And I don't think that's the case, and so I'm asking. And I think we need to ask him some hard questions. And he seems to go on some talk shows, but not this one.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of politicians. Joy and Ben do more of the politicians now. I know that we, in the past, I certainly have asked Representative Sensenbrenner to be on my show, but, oh, you got a doggy.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if he has been on with Joy or Ben recently or not. So,
okay.
I would have to check with them, but he certainly has been invited many times to be on the air with us. So.
Yeah. And that's what I understand, but I just keep thinking if we keep putting it out there, he has to start talking.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, doggy. Yeah, we should have, I think we ought to have once a month appearances from our senators and maybe rotate the various members of Congress for a give and take with our audience. That would be nice to do. Let's go next to Kim. We're almost out of time. Kim in Black Earth. Hi.
I am enjoying your show. I was just thinking that when I heard the guy from Chip, I thought there's a company right now called Nikken, N-I-K-K-E-N, and there are people that are having results with autism, which is a real big issue today, where kids are just not having those symptoms. And there's people with fibromyalgia and their diabetes, where their feet are numb and they're not having that issue anymore and they're getting off their insulin. I think you ought to have somebody on from them. I think they're out in California, so we can learn more about it.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Let's go to Dorothy. Short on time, but Dorothy, I think we can hear you. Port Washington.
Right. This is a book that has just come out. The title of it is called Biting Back, and the subtitle is called A No-Nonsense, No-Garlic Guide to Vampires, Personal Vampires in Your Life, as written by Claudia Cunningham. And it is a very interesting approach, a very personal approach to how people can control the problems and the vampires in their life. I think a discussion, it has a very personal tone, the book has.
Okay.
I think a lot of people would relate to it.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. Just a reminder that you can always send us emails. Our addresses are Fanny, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Chrissy's is Peace, P-E-A-S-E, at WPR.org. And mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. Thanks for all of your suggestions. We will use some of them. We'll be with you tomorrow. Great conversations ahead on the Ideas Network.